This morning we have a special guest speaker coming to speak to us this morning. His name is Roy Comrie. It's Missions Fest weekend, and Roy is one of our missionaries. He has served on our behalf as a church for many years. Roy is a man who loves God, and he loves people. And he loves to see people come and walk in relationship with Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to introduce to you today, Roy Comrie. Roy, speak the word of God to us this morning.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. I usually have to start off with an apology because I have a foreign accent. I was born in Zimbabwe and grew up there, and this is the way we speak over there. And we just hope that you can all understand. Actually, I'm a Canadian. My wife and I are Canadians now, so we speak Canadian, eh? Not very good at it, even though we've been practicing. It's a tremendous joy to be back with you. We got back from Africa in December, and we went in a lot of weakness, a little bit of fear, quite a bit of trembling, and we finished the first half of our assignment. And then when we flew into Zimbabwe for all the meetings and messages there, I ended up in hospital. And so that wasn't what we were planning, but we thank our God who gave us a pastor from Ontario. Pastor Jim and his wife Mary, they came with us because they are behind a project that you can see on our display at the back, an SIM project. It's called Today for Tomorrow. And they, as a church, have been praying for that. And so they came out to check it out. And oh my, he didn't know that he was going to have to take every single one of my appointments. I didn't preach once. I didn't teach once in Zimbabwe. I did all the teaching in South Africa, in the prisons and in the churches and so on there, fulfilled it all and then collapsed. And so Jim took over. But oh, how kind and how great is our God. Because in that hospital, you know, God gave us another agenda. And in the ward where I was, there were men. And they needed the Lord. And oh, God opened up the door to speak to those men. And I had the privilege, while we were waiting for an endoscopy report to come, of speaking to a specialist doctor, a Zimbabwean lady. And I had the privilege in her own office of leading her to the Lord. And you know, if I could tell you that whole story, you would see it's not about me. It was all about what God opened up and how he did it. And we give him all the glory. And so I'm waiting for surgery. I've had my right hip done. Now I've got to have my left hip done. And unfortunately, there's a waiting list of between 11 months and 18 months to get the surgery done. And so we would love you to pray with us, because we're actually praying about going back to one of our hospitals in Africa where we have qualified men and women who do this particular operation. So we're praying, but we'd rather have it here, and but there just doesn't seem at the moment to be any opening. So you can pray with us. Now today, I would like to read to you from the Word of God. I'm going to read just the first passage, and then I'll do the second part a little bit later in the service. It's Psalm 11, and it's from verse 1 to 7, the whole psalm. I want you to listen very, very carefully to the word of the living God. And the key verse, you will notice, is verse 3. And we're going to be talking about foundations today. And so I want you to think, and I want you to pray, that even as I read, this word of the living God will begin to penetrate your heart, and you will see the depth and the breadth of it. In the Lord, says David, I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, did you hear that? When the foundations are being destroyed, what will the righteous do? What will you do when the foundations around you are being destroyed? Verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. Okay. So if the text is verse 3, and you'll just keep that up there. If the text is when the foundations are being shaken and destroyed, what will the righteous do? I'm going to ask a question. What did David do? Because this was happening to him. Things had gone well, but now there were things that were happening in his kingdom. It was going wrong. The foundations were being shaken. Some of the foundations were being destroyed. What did David do? In verse 1, you have the first answer. When it says there, in the Lord, I take refuge. I don't run away, because that's what they were suggesting just in there. How can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? Look at the wicked. They're bending their bows and they set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. The enemy is saying to you and to David and to me, he says, run. It's going to be too much. You're going to be overwhelmed. The foundations are being shaken. They are being destroyed. You better go. You better get out of here. And he says, this is my answer. In the Lord, I take refuge. Foul I, to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. The rock of ages, the rock upon which we have built, he is our strong foundation. We build our lives upon him. And when our foundations are a bit shaky, and when people are threatening our very existence, we run to the rock that is higher than we are. But not only do we go to him, it says there, when those foundations are being shaken and destroyed, he says this, the Lord, in verse 4, is in. He's in his holy temple. He is on his heavenly throne. You and I may be shaken. You and I may be threatened by the foundations being shaken around and about us as we as a nation, as we as a continent kick God out. And we get rid of him out of our schools, out of our parliament. We don't want you. We don't need you, God. We're going to build another foundation, and we're going to base it 100% upon scientific fact. And so the foundations of our faith are being shaken, and yes, they are even seeking to destroy them. But you know what the Bible says? 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11 and 12. Other foundation can nobody lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So they can try. They can say, hey, that's old-fashioned. But the Bible very clearly says, there is no other foundation. Our God, his name is science. He is omniscience. And this God of science says you can never ever lay another foundation. So don't run away, because he's in his holy temple. Just keep quiet. Just be quiet before the Lord your God, because he's in and he's on his heavenly throne and he knows where he's going. He knows exactly the way that he is taking, and he's going that way. You know, that last part of this of Psalm is a passage that most preachers leave out. And they say, we've had this fairly straightforward part, and now it talks about God hating. And some people have come up to me and they've said, we don't believe in the God of the Old Testament, because the God of the Old Testament seems to have too much hatred. And I want to tell you that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are one God. And that what he says in hating sinful behavior, what he says about hatred is he hates violence. He hates people who hang on to their wickedness and they go forward with their lifestyle and they look at God and they say, I don't want anything to do with you because you're messing up. I want to do marriage my way. I want to mess around as I choose. And so it says that he loves righteousness, but he hates evil. Do you have a God like that? Are you ashamed of him? Because he hates evil. Do you know that Jesus uses that word hate? It's in Revelation chapter 2. And I'm just going to quickly do this. I don't want to take any time here, but I just want to quickly do Revelation chapter 2. It's the church at Ephesus. And you remember that church at Ephesus had left their first love. And the Lord said, the Lord Jesus, it's all in red. It's all the words of Jesus. I have one thing against you people in the church at Ephesus. You've lost your first love. But he said, I want to commend you. And this is what he commended. You hate, verse 6, you hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, who are the Nicolaitans? The Nicolaitans are a grouping who believed in totally free sex. They believed in heterosexual, homosexual, total freedom. And so the Nicolaitans, he said, I've got this to commend you for, said Jesus in the New Testament. You hate the practices. Listen to the words. You hate the practices of those immoral guys who just go on, and gals who go on and on in their immorality. I also hate that. But in the Ephesian church, half of them were Nicolaitans. Do you understand? They had come out of that darkness into the light of Jesus Christ. Because the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament is a holy God. He loves righteousness. He's holy. He hates sinfulness. He hates the practices, not the people. He loves the people of today. He loves the guys who are shacking up prior to marriage, heterosexually. He loves the homosexual. He loves people. He has all the time in the world for them. But he hates the practices. And he is here, and he's doing it all the time. If only you would believe how many people come from that background, and they come into the light of the glory of God, and they accept Jesus Christ, and they are delivered from their old practices. I'm ashamed of my old practices. I'm ashamed, but I thank God for his mercy, and I thank God for his cross, and I thank him that there is a Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do you know what the wise man did? He built his house on the rock. Young folk here, children, young folk, married, young married, older folk. Have you built your life personally, your marriage, your home on the rock of ages? Is he your savior, your redeemer? Have you come to that cross? Have you been broken at the cross? He only wants to break you in order that he might make you one of his disciples, so that you can follow him all the days of your life, and you can be a witness to his glory. What an amazing Savior we have. The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. And you know what? The sand will work. You can build your house there. In fact, I know people who have built their house upon the sand, and for years they've never been shaken. But one day, there's going to be a flood. One day, there's going to be an earthquake, physically. One day, there's going to be a cyclone. And the house that is built on the sand is going to collapse. And the children do it best. And the house on the sand went, and they make a big noise. And you remember it. And I want to tell you, the wise man, the wise woman, the wise young person today, the wise young university student built his house upon the rock. And he studied. He became a thoughtful, thinking Christian, not an emotional one, a thoughtful, thinking person who considered every one of the facts that are out there. And he built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that in our world, we've got history to look at? 22 civilizations have come, and they've disappeared. And if you take care, and I'm not going to tarry here, but if you take a lot of care and you look at how did they rise and why did they fall, you will find over and over and over again that they fell because they had foundations and then they began to stray away from the foundations that were there. And 22 civilizations came and they fell. And our civilization, according to all of the writings that are taking place by philosophers around the world, are right on the edge of another collapse. And we need revival in Canada. We need revival in North America. We need revival, Lord, in Africa. We need revival in Asia and Latin America, around the world. Lord, please visit us again. Show us your glory. Show us the foundations which are so solid and which we can build our individual lives upon. And we can become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we can become ambassadors of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, there's an exchange that took place in every one of those nations and in every one of the people who did it. They exchanged the glory of God, according to Romans chapter 1, for an image. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And at this moment, I just want to stop for one sec. Yes, I've got time. I want to start. You see, there are two kingdoms. There is the kingdom that is built upon truth, the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, the kingdom of righteousness, forgiveness, patience, everything that you want to put in. His kingdom. His kingdom. What an amazing kingdom. There's another kingdom. It's the kingdom of death. It's the kingdom that is built upon lies. It loves violence. It loves deviation. It loves you to be absolutely ahead of your times so that you wipe out Christianity and you just go straight to it. Satan is an angel of light. Lucifer isn't a scary figure. He's an angel of light. He's beautiful. And he comes not with his ugliness, but he comes with his beauty. And he says, don't follow those narrow, simple Christians. That's a narrow way. Come to the broad way. I will lead you. I will show you my way. And the majority of the world are following on to know him. After I had preached last October in Vancouver, I was in the foyer at our display, and a man came to me. His name was Amat. He was a Muslim man from Iran. And he came straight at me. This is exactly what happened. He said, he didn't say hello. He didn't say, I've got a question. He said this. This is what he said. I am there, not here. I'm not in the kingdom of truth and life and forgiveness. I'm here. I'm in the kingdom of lies. I have been following a violent lifestyle. I have been following deception. He said to me, how do I get from here to here? And I had the privilege of leading in October Amat to Jesus Christ. And he joins a growing group of Iranian Christians. Not only are they here in Canada, but they're back in Iran. And the church there is numbered in millions now. And our God is reigning, not what you think, not that the nation outwardly is a powerful nation, almost right there with nuclear weapons, but our God is quietly, just like yeast, he's growing into Africa, into Canada, into every part of Asia and the Middle East. He is spreading the word of his truth, and people are beginning to build their lives upon his salvation. One more thing. And if you'll put the next slide up from Luke chapter 24, 46 to 49. What an amazing passage this is, and I will read it very, very quickly. And I'm not going to be long. This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. I want to show you, building on Psalm 11, those foundations which the enemy is seeking to destroy. He's shaking and seeking to destroy. The foundations that we have are so solid that it is impossible for even Lucifer to shake them. What are they? First of all, it says, this is what is written. If you know Luke chapter 24, you will know that it is the chapter on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. you will know that on that morning, Luke chapter 24, verse 1, the women, remember, they went to the tomb and they found that the stone had been rolled away, and they found that there was no body there. And then they had the instruction, "He's not here, he's risen." They went rushing back to the men. And if you look at Luke chapter 24, this is what you can do on your own. The men looked at these women and they said, "What a bunch of nonsense. These women are just emotional. Nonsense. People don't rise from the dead." And then two of those men got on the road to Emmaus, and you know the story, and I'm counting on it. And Jesus comes up alongside those two men walking back home. Their village was 11 kilometers away from Jerusalem. And they were walking back, and Jesus, the risen Christ, came and began to walk with them, but they didn't recognize that it was Jesus. And as they get into conversation, and Jesus begins to question them, this is what he says. He says, "You fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And then it says, beginning with Moses, the scripture, and with all the prophets, he gave them a Bible study. And he showed them the things concerning himself in the scripture. Do you believe the word of God? Or do you come upon a few texts and they're kind of difficult? I can remember when I first came to the Lord, I had so many, 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 many difficulties. I still have a few difficulties. But you know what? Those difficulties are being cleared up as I grow in grace and in knowledge and in faith and in trust. So I see that the Bible is the word of the living God, and it is a trustworthy word. We don't worship the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible, but we thank God for his manuscript that he's given us down here on earth. And I have a very quick illustration. One of our missionaries in Zambia, we were in the tent, we were in the dwelling just next to him. It was made out of trees and grass. And old Mr. Watson was going to preach the word again. And he had a lantern, no electricity. And he was sitting on his grass bed, preparing for the next day, and he fell asleep. When a preacher falls asleep, preparing his message, you may not be in for a treat. But anyway, he fell asleep, and as he fell asleep, he knocked over the lantern. And the fire came out of that kerosene lantern onto his bed, and we were right next door. We had just put our lantern out, and I saw this fire. And I grabbed a blanket, and I put it over me, and I rushed next door, and I have never been so disrespectful to an older missionary in my life. I grabbed him behind his shirt and his trousers, and I dragged him out of the flames. And he was screaming. And he said, "Go back in there. My Bible. My Bible." Oh, my word. I deposited him. I put the blanket over my head again, and I tried to get back in, but I couldn't. The fire had grown, and I was not able to get in. And you know, when there's a fire, there's a crowd. And the crowd gathered, and they were everywhere. There were people everywhere. The villagers, they came. We were right in amongst the villagers. The people at the conference, there were many there. I can't remember the number. But they all came out, and they watched this missionary's goods all being burned. Everything. Every single thing in that tent, it seemed, was being burned. And people had their blankets. It was the middle of winter, and they were watching. And when the fire died down, I went in, very brave. And you know, lying on some dry grass was his open Bible. I picked it up with both hands, and I carried it out to Mr. Watson, and I gave it to him. Do you know where it was open? It was open to the passage, "Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away." And you know, he looked down at his Bible and he felt a sermon coming on. And he looked out at that huge crowd of people who had gathered to listen. And he preached. We go back there many, many times. 40 years later, there were so many people who came to know Jesus Christ that night. They are still talking about it. The word of God, it's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's an amazing word. And just now, we're going to have a baptism. And as soon as I finish the next two little tiny points, the people who are going to be baptized can go. Okay? I'll give you the signal. But this is what it's about. What I say here is going to be nothing compared with what they're going to do back there. They are going to give us a living illustration of being buried with him. They're going to be identifying with Jesus in his death. Buried with him. That is exactly what 1 Corinthians 15:3 says to us. It says to us, this is the gospel. It is of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. They're going to be buried. They're going to go right down under the water. On the third day, he rose again. And they're going to come up out of that water. And he appeared to Peter, to the 12, to a big group, to more than 500 people at one time. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. What an amazing message that we have. And it is going to be spoken in 5 minutes' time by these folk who are following the Lord through the waters of baptism. And if you are going to be baptized, we are praying for you. Would you go and get ready? And we will be praying for you, and you will be witnessing to us your confession. And we thank God for that. But I want to just speak for another few minutes while they go. Maybe they've already gone. But while they go, I just have a couple of things to say. The foundation for global evangelism is so strong. The launching pad for a worldwide movement, which begins right here in our Jerusalem, which is right here in Cliverdale, the launching pad is the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, the enthronement of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And other foundation, nobody can lay. And if you build on that foundation, you are building on the rock of ages. And it is for you. For the last 12 years, Gwen and I have been going every single year back to Zimbabwe as one of the countries. Sometimes we've been into 9 countries in a year. But one of the countries that we always go back to is Zimbabwe. And we've got a program. We called it a program. It's called Today for Tomorrow. Nas Jemangwan, in their language. Today for Tomorrow. And it's for children from 4 to 14. And do you know that with three people, full-time people, Chris and Nancy and Lena, they are all full-time and they are Zimbabweans, we are running a program every week for over 50,000 children. I have no idea. They have trained over 600 folk who are the teachers, volunteers. They get no money, but they teach in this program. When the children graduate from today for tomorrow, do you know what most of them are doing? They're going on to take the teacher training so that they can be part of the program in teaching. Not only has it grown in Zimbabwe, and we have been planting new churches as a result of today for tomorrow, they desperately need your prayer. Zimbabwe is going through some horrific times economically right now and politically. But spiritually, God is working, and we would like you to pray for them. Little children from 4 to 14 are being led to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And they are going home and they're leading their parents to Christ. And now this movement has spread to 5 different places in South Africa: Swaziland, Namibia, Botswana, Angola. They've all got it now. And this year we're going to go into Malawi, and we're going to go into one other country, Tanzania. And we would love you to pray for this movement of God among children. Do you know that every year, I don't know whether your pastor would do this, but in all of our Baptist churches in Zimbabwe, we've got hundreds of them, they all give one Sunday to the children. And do you know the children take the whole thing? Preaching, teaching, drama, everything. And do you know that every Sunday when they take it, we have conversions? We have people who come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the pastors have said, we'll just maybe do it one year. Now they've said, no, we're going to do it every year. Please, would you pray? I am longing to have this crazy operation. That's not crazy. I really need it. In my hip replacement on my left side, so that we can get back and encourage and strengthen the hands of our national brethren so that they can do the work of the ministry. If you come to our booth afterwards, I've got a covenant card which I've used here many, many times. I'm not even going to read it. I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes. If you want to be real as a Christian, you've got to be total as a Christian. If you do not know Jesus Christ, I brought a little booklet back from Africa this time that is very plain, very simple, very straightforward on how to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And if you would like to come, not only to me, but to any of the counselors here, we are ready. We want to lead you to the cross, to the resurrection, to the ascension, to the enthronement of our God, to the firmest foundation that you will ever have in life. Our God is reigning. May the Lord richly bless you. Shall we just bow together in prayer? Lord, we worship you. We thank you for your word. It is a lamp, it is a light. It is a hammer. It is a two-edged sword. It cuts, but it cures. Father, we thank you for the foundation which we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for David. He ran to you, Lord, in his need, in his day. And he found that you were more than able to guide him, even though there were many people who were aiming to kill him. We pray that in our day, as the foundations of Canada are being shaken, we pray that we would run to you, Lord, and find refuge and strength and help in you. Lord, we're really looking forward to witnessing these four folk as they go through the waters of baptism. Bless our hearts. Challenge us. If there are any here who have not followed you in obedience, may they do it today. May they come and say, I am determined to follow him every step of the way. Accept our worship. We offer it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.